Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
It is the Grilling Guys, and you're listening to the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and if that's the case, it must be the weekend. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob, and we're ready to fire it up in your backyard. What's cooking over there, brother?
Hey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. It's a weekend, and this is your get up and go. This is your call to arms. This show in particular is to bring out the manly man, because we're doing primal steaks, and we're going to just talk about everything primal meats.
Hey, I tell you what, this is one of my favorite topics that we do every year, because I'm going to call myself out, and I'm a self-professed steak snob. I don't go out to eat steak very often.
Yeah,
there's
never.
Once in a while, never. I'll find a place that's got a great steak, but I personally, I think I can do it better than most places do it out. Take a little more care, a little more time, and I think those are some of the things we're going to cover today.
Bonefish Grill would be one exception to that.
Well, and everybody's got one around, yeah. Right? And mm-hmm. I'm not saying that restaurants don't make great steaks, but by and large, they're rushed, I think, and the cuts aren't maybe as good. They maybe aren't trimmed as well.
Well, we have a great butcher in our pocket. That's the truth.
Well, there's that, too.
I got to tell everybody, you're listening, you can't see this, but I got to tell you, every time we open this show, we do our opener, which we love. We have lots of fun with it. And, you know, it's the immigrant song and everything. And right when Joppy starts talking, he does this little thing with his hips, and he kind of just like shifts his butt around. And I think he's like almost dancing as he does his opener. So when you
That's
hear
why I'm
him
on the radio,
when
Bob,
you hear him
not
say
TV.
Welcome, just know that he's doing a little jig for you.
Right. Yeah. This is not TV, and there's a strong reason why that's the case. But anyway, no, the topic of beef on the grill,
primal cuts,
is one that always gets me excited. So, but before we dive into that too deeply, this week, you know, we always kind of recap what was going on. I covered a wedding for a buddy whose son was getting married, and
you mean you put the tent up?
Well, yeah, kind of. But you know, it's one of those things where guys are humble, and I get it. But you know what? When you need help, you need to ask your buddy, yeah. And especially if he's got some skills in an area where you know he can help you.
Yeah.
And so what happened is this guy was, you know, wedding was there, and he was trying to do it right, and he was going to do all the barbecue for 175 people himself, and he's the father of the groom.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Right, and I'm
that
like, come on, man, let me help you a little bit. He's a good buddy of mine, and we hang out.
He's a good
and
guy.
And he was too humble. He didn't want to ask, right? So I kind of got a little pushy.
Wow.
And yeah, imagine that. But I got a little pushy, and I kind of stepped in, and I ended up spending all weekend with him. But the food came out great. We just did pulled pork and beans and cheesy potatoes and corn, you know, the standard fare for an outdoor barn wedding,
sure,
kind of
yeah.
Barbecue. But it turned out really good. It was all his recipes. I just kind of stepped in and played number two.
You were the robot.
When he had time. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of pushed him away when he got closer to the wedding. And I just wanted to tell him thanks, because I really enjoyed being able to help him. And at the end of the day, I felt like that he appreciated it too.
Talking about Mark Greaves.
I am, yep.
And say his name.
Right.
Say
it. Mark's a great guy, and he's a good buddy of mine.
He is.
But he's just a proud guy, and he yeah. was like, I got this.
I get
you know?
That, man. I don't like to ask for help either. You volunteer to help me all the time, and I'm usually like, nah. But it's I don't know. It's a weird thing, but I think right. A lot of people are like that.
Yeah.
Maybe
and,
guys more than women.
And I think so. And that's part of that whole primal guy thing is where I was going with it to tie it in, is that we're proud and we want to do it. But you know what? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid to just ask your buddy, especially if he's got skills. Now, you don't want to ask me to help you repair a car. That's not in my skill set, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know what I'm doing. I'll be the first one to tell you. But in something like that where I've got a little bit of skills, and you know, I'm happy to step up and help.
But you'd bring the beer if they were.
I did. But Mark doesn't drink beer, so
no,
I
mean,
drink
if you wanted to help with the car, right. you'd at least bring some beer over and then mock them the whole time.
I'd watch.
You're there.
Ask some dumb questions. Sure.
Well, I had a very cool week. I'm in the process of building a wet bar, as you know, because I'm going to get the cabinets from Home Life from you. A great deal. It's actually a mistake order. You guys, ordered
so
the wrong color.
Yeah.
And I happen to love that wood because it's a nice dark. It's got the knots in it and everything. It's beautiful cabinets.
Yep.
And the deal I can't pass up. And then this is going to be a Jop bar because you actually gave me some granite a couple years ago that I've been storing next to the barn.
Right.
One of those pieces is going to work perfect.
Great.
I found a guy to cut the top in, the sink and all that stuff. So when I get that bar installed and all done, you're going to be the first guy to belly up to it.
Yeah, we were able to pull that granite out of another job, and stone doesn't go bad.
Oh, it was just beautiful.
Somebody else wanted a different color.
And you said you hated to throw it away, and I took a look at it, and I go, that'd be great for an outdoor kitchen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still haven't built that real nice outdoor kitchen that I want to do because I got too many other projects. But so it's going to go.
It's
going to go downstairs instead.
Good.
Which is great because I happen to need. And the cool thing is that's a dark granite. It goes great with that dark cabinet. It's going to look gorgeous.
Right.
And it's going to look way better than any other cabinets in the house.
Well, those will change, too.
Until you get done with
my wife.
I'm not
done with you yet, man. Yeah.
So, I also had a great conversation with my buddy David Webb this week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is good news.
And we are finally getting the full final approval of bringing our last load of two big American Barbecue Systems Judge Smokers and Original Wan Sauce, American Stockyard, and the Parker Charcoal. We're going to ship that to Camp Pendleton, and you and I in September are going to fly out to San Diego to meet the load, escort it on to Pendleton, and we're going to cook for a couple thousand Marines, and then we're going to attend an event there that's, I should have had the name of the event written down. I can't remember it, but it's a very big formal event they have every year, and it's a black tie event, so we'll get to actually go and hang out with all the Pentagon people and all the top Marines, and there'll be several hundred people at this fancy affair, and so we'll get to cook for a couple days and then go to a black tie event and celebrate the Marine Corps. So that's just going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks to David Webb from Sirius Patriot and Fox News.
Right. And this has been a long time coming, guys. Man, we've been struggling with this. John, the red tape at the government level is amazing, as you all know. But but thank God we got it done.
So here's the other part of that story. Now we need to start raising some money for the freight because we're going to have a few thousand dollars to get all this stuff out to California. So take a look at our page, gibbq.com, and if you haven't helped out this cause yet, it's been going on for 2 years, it's now time to go ahead and open your wallet up and man up a little bit. We're going to go feed a couple thousand Marines. We just need some freight money now to get all this stuff to Camp Pendleton. And
that's in San Diego,
right?
That's
in San Diego. So it's going to be rough duty.
It's leaving Grand Rapids, Michigan, and it's headed to San Diego. So another thought there is there's a lot of truck companies that run produce back and forth to the West Coast.
Yeah, like Van Eerden.
From here. But this is a half a truckload of stuff because we got pallets of sauce and rub and these
two big
smokers.
Yep.
Right, it's six skids. So we've got a... we're begging a little bit here, but not really. This is a great cause.
Yeah, if you had a little room on the back of your truck, absolutely.
Right.
That's a great idea. 100%
is deductible because this is all through a 501c3. There is absolutely no money that Barbecue Bob and I have taken from this, nor will we ever. Everything that's donated in kind or cash goes right toward this event. We've already done one of them that we took down there, and now we're going to take these two out to Camp Pendleton, and we could really use your help.
First load went to Fort Bragg a year ago.
Right.
And now it's time to get this last load out, and this is a double load, so we need some help. GIBBQ.com. Click on, even if you can only throw in $5 or $10, please do it.
Yep, every little thing helps.
That's
coming
right.
Up next, we're going to get primal. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Since you were standing right here, and I Imagine you and your buddies in your backyard drinking a cold one and relaxing in your new outdoor bar or kitchen. Does that sound like a good time? Yeah, baby. Then you wake up and realize you're sitting on an old deck in the glaring sun, drying out your brat on a worn-out grill. This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and if that's what you're cooking on in your backyard, you should call the guys at Home Life Outdoor Living. They'll help you design and build an outdoor kitchen and entertainment space that will make your backyard the talk of the neighborhood. Create some grill envy in your backyard. Call Home Life Outdoor Living at 616-682-0100.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoe's 120, where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoe's Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from the Grilling Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. Yeah, this is the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we didn't mean to pander on the Operation GI Barbecue, but we really want to pull this thing off, and we need a little bit of help here. So you guys have been always so very generous and got behind us on this thing.
Really.
We're just asking for a little final push here.
Well, and the cool thing is we finally get to deliver this last two big loads.
Right.
And then we need to see if we can't start rejuvenating it and do it again next year.
Right.
Now that we have a track greased. I mean, if the Marine Corps is the only one that's going to play ball with us, I don't care if we send all these smokers to the Marines.
Right.
Doesn't hurt my feelings at all. They're all GIs.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
I wish the Air Force would step up, though. They're kind of shaming me.
Well, you're all right, man. It's politics. It doesn't have anything to do with the guys we want to get to. You know what
right.
I mean? It's somewhere between them and us.
That's right.
Is where this thing gets shut down. But anyway.
So I want to talk about caveman steaks.
Right.
Now, last night I did these. They were 2-inch thick, aged. They were 14 days aged porterhouse. And I did them in a caveman fashion.
And what do you mean by that?
And if you go online and look at caveman steaks, you'll see a whole bunch of people have done them this way. The guy that turned me on to it was Steve Reichlin, but I, after wanting to look at his old video, I saw that there's quite a few guys actually who have videos on caveman steaks, which is one of the reasons I'm probably not going to bother doing a video on this. But we should, because it's just a cool process. But basically, you're taking a big, thick steak, and in this case, I chose 14-day dry-aged, which were fantastic. And there's a story to aging as well. And then basically, everybody has a little different opinion onto the steps, but I like to put the oil on first. Now, some people say to put the oil on after the salt and pepper. I don't know how much difference it really makes. I'm just used to putting the oil on first. So I put some garlic EVO on and then some coarse sea salt, a fair amount of it, and then coarse ground black pepper, a ton of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I let them sit on the counter for a half an hour. And that's part of another story or conversation to have about salting. There's lots of theories and studies and all these things about the salting. But the conclusion I've come to is, and the evidence points to in the studies I tend to believe or agree with, about a half an hour tends to be the perfect time for tenderness and texture. I was trying the 1 hour and the 3 hour methods. I found that those just got the meat a little too salty, even though I rinsed them when it was done. So anyway, I chose last night to do 30 minutes on the counter with the coarse salt, coarse pepper, and I had my Cajun grill, my beautiful big Cajun.
Which is a charcoal grill.
It's a charcoal grill made in Louisiana by Percy Guidry. It's a wonderful grill. It's on my back deck. Just use it all the time. I put some of that nice Parker charcoal in there. Got a big fire going. And
that's lump charcoal,
after,
right? Not briquettes.
After it was all red, yes, it's lump charcoal. After and you have to do this with lump. You can't do this with briquettes.
Right.
There's too much ash. So you just fan the ash off the top. You spread your coals out to a nice bed, a big enough bed to handle the size of the steaks you're putting on. Then you take something that will fan them, like a piece of metal, a cookie pan, something like that, and just lightly blow off the ash on top, and you set the steaks right on the coals.
Right.
It is so cool. And you got to take pictures. I'll put my pictures on our website with the technique to do this. They'll be up sometime Saturday this afternoon.
All right. So let's digress a little bit into this. Now, the lump charcoal is going to burn at a glowing ember.
1250.
Right, at 1250 degrees. So it's hot. You need a glove on or you need some really long tongs because you do not want to get your knuckles down toward that fire. That's issue one.
A glove and tongs is probably a good way to
right.
do it.
Right. The second thing is that you heard him say that there's a lot of coarse pepper and a lot of ground salt, sea salt. The reason is that's going to create a little barrier between those coals and that meat, and it's going to create a crust, too, when
yep.
you're cooking it. Both of those are very important if
They're
you're going
very
to do
good.
This. Yeah, because the one is it creates a little barrier, but the second is it drives in a tremendous amount of flavor into that meat, and you want both of those if you're going to do this.
Right. And I went with 2 inch, which is incredibly thick.
Right.
Inch and a half, it depends on who you're cooking for and how the doneness they want their steak, but I'm a medium rare guy, rare to medium rare,
right.
So the 2 inch is perfect. To be honest, I had to put my wife's back on the grate. I put the grate on, and then I had to finish hers off a little bit because it just wasn't done enough for her,
right?
Which really broke my heart. But I brought it up to hers up to a medium and ruined it. But and then the amount of time you're going to leave it on is going to be around 4 minutes.
For the first side.
The first side, yeah. And then, you know, with a welding glove, just lift that steak up and take a peek at it and mm-hmm. take a look at the bottom. It should be getting nice and charred and black, and it'll be crusty. If it's crusty, it's time to flip it over.
Right.
Put it right back in the same spot because there's no ash there, and another 4 minutes there, and pull it off, set it on a plate for about 10 to 15 minutes and let it rest. It's okay to cover the plate when it's resting if you want the temperature to lower slowly. And the juices in that steak will move around in that muscle, that body of meat, as it cools off. And that hot liquid from the surface wants to migrate, and as it travels through the meat, it cooks the rest of the meat to a certain level.
Right.
And that's why I'm only going 4 minutes aside if it's a 2 inch thick steak.
Okay. So we're big advocates of the thermopen or a digital thermometer. If a guy's not done this before, when you took that off and you let it to rest, if he puts it into the center, whereabouts are you?
130.
Yeah, exactly. So where I'm going is is Maureen, his wife, wanted it a little more done. You don't necessarily want it done on those coals because you want it, you don't want to get a burn.
Right.
You just want to get that crust on there. So if you're cooking for the medium to medium well lover, you need to put it on the a grate up off the coals.
Or indirect. You can put it in and just put move it to the side, shut the lid, and do fine too. Now the true caveman steak is typically what you do is you dig a hole and you build a fire. And you can go as primal as you want. You can literally take a stick and stone and some weeds and, you know, go crazy caveman on the thing. It's kind of fun to do that if you've never done it. You need to try it.
I'm
a time
on a
or
lump
two.
Charcoal with a lighter.
I understand that, man, but I'm just saying there's a lot to be said for making this a festive event.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do a bunch of them, the more primal you get, the crazier it gets, and, you know, maybe your wife gets a little primal later on. You know, I'm just saying, it could happen. Bring out the cave girl.
Yeah, it all depends what sauce you put on it, I'm sure. But anyway, that is a cool way to do it.
Sauces we're covering in the fourth segment.
Right, yeah. The when you get this caveman steak off there, I just really can't stress enough, get a good welding glove and get alongside of tongs. You're reaching down and almost touching a 1,200-degree fire.
Right.
And we just have to keep you safe when you do that because
right. It
isn't going to burn a little. It'll burn a lot
yeah.
if you touch
it. So another thing to remember is you should have a pastry brush or a horsehair paintbrush.
Uh-huh.
When you lift that steak off the fire, lightly brush it to get any hot coals off it and let them fall back down in the fire. Brush that off over your fire.
Right.
And if there's a little residual ash on it, but it's going to be pretty black. And it's going to look almost like you ruined it when you first pull it off, but it's got a ton of black pepper on it and very coarse black pepper.
Right.
And so that's going to add to the blackness. Plus, you're kind of burning it.
But you got 2 inches, in his case, you got 2 inches of steak, so you got to drive that heat into the center of there. Leaving that out a little bit on the counter ahead of time helped that cooking because it evens out the temperature of the meat.
It brought it from 42 degrees up to 75 degrees.
Right, yep. So coming up next, we might spin your rotisserie a little bit. Stick with us. We'll be back.
You look way too good. This feels way too right.
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
I like my backyard. I like being outside all year long. I work hard. I exercise and live life to the max. Nothing's better than slipping out in my Arctic spa and relaxing with my family. The Spa Boy Advanced Water Care System keeps my water crystal clear, and I control everything from my smartphone, iPad, or laptop. Check out arcticspas.com and find the perfect hot tub for your home. I'm Barbecue Bob.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got 6 packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Barbecue Bob, don't we have a couple new affiliates in Lansing, Michigan this week, right?
No, they're actually coming on next week. But that's great. I do have that in the fifth segment. Thanks for jumping. I'm leaking, huh?
Yeah.
So as long as you were breaking into announcements, so I would like to remind everybody that Saturday today at Fenn Valley, there's still tickets available. They're having their annual wine festival weekend, so it goes Saturday and Sunday. It's $10. You get a glass, a commemorative glass. You get samples. There's going to be all sorts of food there, which you'll have to pay for, and you'll have to pay for your other glasses of wine, but you'll get at least one glass free, and they're going to have two bands. And Jop, you and I cooked there a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Fun event, wonderful place, just a different type of event. If you've never been to a winery that's having a festival, you're missing out.
Right, and it's easy to find. It's south and west of Grand Rapids on I-196. As you're heading down towards the Benton Harbor area, you'll see a Fennville exit and follow the signs from there. Cool place. Great date night, guys. If you want to do something on a Saturday, it's a lawn concert. They got, like Bob said, a couple bands. Cheap night out, and it's really kind of very unique because you're right in the vineyard.
I wouldn't sell it as a cheap night out necessarily, Jop. That you just whizzed all over the parade.
No, I didn't. $10 to get in, that's nothing, man.
Oh no, you're gonna be whipping your wallet out. You're gonna be buying wine. Yeah. The price isn't the point anyway. I'm just having fun with you. It's a spectacular event.
Right.
It's a beautiful landscape. You're in the hills of West Michigan on Lake Michigan. And everybody's happy. The women are wearing kind of flowing dresses. It almost reminds me of like 100 years ago or something, you know, because the bands are set up on old stages, and it's very cool.
Yep.
Great place to maybe don some vintage clothing if you wanted to go.
You can wear your seersucker suit.
That's exactly what I wear.
So let's talk about spinning some meat. I enjoy cooking food on a rotisserie. There's some tips and techniques that we need to kind of cover to do that, but
you do like rotisserie. That's why I threw this bone.
Yeah, and the thing is that it gets done even. And it's lazy grilling. Is once you get it going, once you get it going, you get a little fire build underneath.
There's a little method to this.
That's right. Now, I'm a big advocate of one-handed grilling. This is no-handed grilling, so it's even better. I got two hands free
to
drink
here.
But when
you are grilling, it's two hands because you're going to grab the spit with two hands.
Right.
I see. You're just shifting priorities.
Right, exactly. Okay. But anyway, a few years back, Bob found this grill called an Epicoa. And basically, it's a little portable charcoal grill. It's got screw-on legs. You set the thing up, and it flops open like a suitcase. And this Epicoa grill has a rack on the front and the top of the suitcase on the back, and there are seven skewers.
And you can't get them anymore anyway, so there's no point in promoting it. No, they went out of business.
Oh, well, you got one still.
I do.
And I bet you can find them on eBay or whatever, because they were cool.
Oh, yeah.
They were
very
cool.
But lots of grills have rotisseries.
Right, exactly.
So if you have just a regular gas or charcoal grill, chances are at one point in time, you bought a rotisserie, and you're not using it.
Right.
That's the crime.
Right, and that's where you need to go, because what you're doing is you've got a steel rod that runs on a motor and a stand on the other end, and there's these two prongs that slide down the rod, and they hook the meat.
Yep.
Now, it's very important that you get that in there
yes.
tight, because
yes.
if you don't, the meat will spin on the rotisserie. They call them a spit.
Yeah.
Right? It'll spin on the spit, and then you aren't getting cooking on all the sides. So that's the first tip or technique.
You don't want to spin on your spit.
No. You don't want to spit on your spinner either. But at the end of the day, you want to tighten those prongs up against the ends of the meat about as tight as you can get them, because when that thing starts to roll and cook, it's going to shrink a little bit. It's going to get some juices flowing. It's going to get slippery. And if those tongs aren't in there tight, or those prongs rather, your stuff will spin. And then it doesn't cook right.
All right.
You with me?
That's a lot of drama.
It is a lot of drama. But I'm telling you, I've had it. And what really sucks about it more is that you got to stop in the middle of the cook and everything's hot and tighten those things up if you didn't do it on the front
gotcha.
End. So okay. That's what I'm saying is
right.
Just make sure you get on. Get your tongs tight.
I think everybody's good with that now.
Right.
Safety, man. Here.
But it's the result.
So finish up the rotisserie cook.
So basically what we're doing, and I do this with an offset fire, because anytime you put something on the rotisserie, as it turns, the juices are going to flow, and it kind of self-base, but ultimately you get drips, right? And if those drips are over the coals, then you're going to get flare-ups, and it's going to burn.
So let's say you don't have a rotisserie for your grill.
Get one.
You can buy them online or at your favorite grill shop. That they make these. There's all sorts of rotisseries you can buy, and you can retrofit it onto your grill. Or if you like camping, you might just go ahead and get one of those campers rotisserie that's battery-operated. And they're basically a couple stainless steel rods that go in the ground next to your campfire with a big spit. Getting the thick spit is the key, because you're going to go primal. You're going to want to put big chunks of meat, leg of lamb, whatever, on this thing, and you're going to get some weight on it. You don't want it bowing either. So,
because it won't turn. It'll turn and your meat will flop.
Yep.
And it's kind of like a tire that's out of round, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just isn't going to work right. So, again, that's the other thing. That's a great point, is the strength of that spit that goes across there. They're rated. If you buy them online, they're rated for different poundage.
Yeah.
Be cognizant of that.
Yeah, just get the big one.
Right.
Because you're going to go big.
Right. The last one I bought
is a
7/8 octagon. The octagon helps stuff from spinning rather than a round one. That'd be another trip. But it's also rated for 125 pounds. So I'll never cook 125
pounds. You can throw your girlfriend
pounds.
On there.
Right, yeah.
Nah, Jeffrey Dahmer might try that, but you
right,
wouldn't
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, not my style. But anyway, so as you can tell, I'm a little bit passionate about my
rotisseries. Gosh, I guess. We're going to have to hose you down.
But you want to, the other thing, another tip that is you don't want real fatty meats on there. If you've got a hunk of beef or a hunk of pork with a fat cap on it, you're going to want to trim some of that off of there. A little is good, but a big, thick fat cap is going to render too much, and you're going to get big flare-ups
in
your fire.
Well, but it depends on where your drippings are going.
Right.
So, like, a lot of grills are going to have an infrared burner on the back.
The gas
if
grills
are, if
that's
the case,
yep.
Then just put a cake pan under your piece of meat. Use your back burner
as the heat source.
And leave that fat right on there, because actually that's kind of part of the beauty of this cook, is that fat just adds to the juices that keep running through the meat, and it does render. And I don't know. I think there's a lot of cuts of meat. Like, I'm thinking of a prime rib, where you take the ribs off it and you leave the ribs on it. But either way, there's going to be a fair amount of fat on that, and I guess I would probably tend to want to leave that fat on there just for maybe effect and protection for the prime rib.
I just stay away from it because of the flare-ups.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen if we've got a rear burner and a
gas
grill.
Right.
If I'm using charcoal, picture right below it, I've got the little pan to catch the drippings, and the fire is offset maybe 3 or 4 inches.
Right.
Still produce plenty of heat.
Well, then you can get an inch of grease in that pan and it catches on fire. And then you're really got
to. Well, there's that too, but, you know. Anyway.
So I get your point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you do have a charcoal grill, you can always push your coals in one direction or another away from that rotisserie.
Right.
And then put your pan in place or something to catch. You love aluminum foil. You could put some aluminum foil in there.
Right. The other thing that's fun to do with the rotisserie meats is it's easy to baste them. during the process. So right. if you do have some of those drippings that you're catching in a pan, you can take a long brush and just go right back up and put those right back on there. Recycle them if you want, or if you're looking for a flavor profile of a certain kind, or a marinade or a basting sauce.
Yep.
They work really good on these because you can put it on there lightly and it caramelizes, and then you do it again and
again. Making me hungry.
So, yeah, it's making me hungry. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about some steak toppings, a little bit of those sides that make a great steak even better. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer. Bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's. 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your windows stick, slip, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes, along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior, can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Wow, that's a little saucy music. I guess we're segueing right into our steak toppings and sauces. Little Luke Bryan there to... get you started. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and if you are, it's the weekend, and we're just trying to help you out a little bit with a little bit of steak on the grill this week, and we've covered the meat pretty heavy, so now we're going to dive a little bit into maybe some sides and sauces. What you thinking, Barbecue Bob?
Yeah, that's right, exactly right, and welcome back. Thanks for joining us. Make sure you check out our website at thegrillingguys.com, and if you want to podcast the show, on the top right corner, look for the headset on a little box that says P. That's click on that, and it'll set you up to a link that will send this show right to your device or your laptop, your computer. And because it's a cool thing to have. I love podcasts. I download a lot of them, and my kids are into podcasting. But it's just nice because we're on different times and different places, and sometimes there's a show that you really want to catch, and we're so hard to miss, you know. Also, like us on Facebook, / The Grillin' Guys. I'm on Twitter. It's Grillin' Guy.
All right. And speaking of being on a Twitter, let's put something on a steak. and make it a little bit tasty.
Segue.
What's your favorite?
That was smooth. Smooth. That was really
What's
smooth.
Your favorite on a steak topper? I've got one. I know, but we'll start with yours.
I think you do as well. This is one that I actually found on the internet and altered some time back. I haven't made it in a long time, but it's a buttery cognac mushroom spread, and they called for leeks. I'm not a leek fan, and actually, I'm not real big on certain mushrooms either, but when you roast them or saute them or grill them with a profile, then they're a lot better. But basically, just saute some mushrooms, and then you get a couple sticks of butter or half, maybe a pound of butter, and bring it to room temperature. However much you're going to need for your guests, basically. You're only going to make up as much as you want to use at the time. Then in a bowl, mash that together with garlic, parsley, and I use, I finely chop fresh parsley for this. It's way better. Don't use the dried parsley. Mm-hmm. The butter's not going to expand it. And then put some cognac in it.
Okay.
And wow, what a cool, when that melts on the steak, what a cool little aroma and profile. If you've never had cognac, it's a great reason to buy a bottle because right. You might fall in love.
Yeah,
it's a wonderful liquor, or liqueur maybe actually. But and then you do some sea salt and crushed pepper. You blend all that together with just a hand mixer or a whisk or whatever you can get it to blend nicely, and then put it in a bowl or something that'll be easy to retract and put it in the fridge and chill it down, and then when you're serving your steaks, see, like some steaks are so big, like these caveman steaks I did, they're so big, if you're going to serve them to a big crowd, you're going to want to slice them nice and thick and kind of lay them out so you have a great presentation. And then you cut a couple pieces of this flavored butter and you set it on top of that as you serve it. And that melting butter, the steam coming off the steaks, it's a fantastic presentation.
Yeah, very cool. Mine is a mushroom and onion kind of a, I'm going to cook it down in a skillet, and I'm going to use a whole stick of whole butter, right? And I'm going to put the mushroom, I'm cooking for four people maybe in
yep.
this. So I got a little package of the 1 pound package of mushrooms, probably a whole Vidalia onion. I like sweet onion rather than mm-hmm. white onions on this.
Vidalia.
Yes. And I'm going to cook those down and get them to cook down in that butter. And then I'm going to deglaze the pan with a little bit of red wine.
Mm.
Okay. And then what I'm going to do
what
is
kind
let
of
that
red wine. Wine.
Now I
whatever
usually,
you have,
whatever
cheap
I have,
leftover.
But I like a fruity one, so I might go with like a Zinfandel or something like that. I'm not going to put a cab in there; it's a little too dry. I want mm-hmm. something a little fruitier.
So you want
flavor.
Something sweet,
right? But it's going to go in there, and I'm going to let that cook down till that the juice gets a little bit thick. I don't want it runny like water,
so
and I don't
be
want
a,
it pasty.
Like a glaze,
yeah,
then.
Like a glaze mm-hmm. on there, and then I serve that in a dish alongside, and people can put it on at their leisure. Whatever they want,
but that
just
good.
That mushroom mm-hmm. and onion with there's the wine and the butter and a little garlic. I didn't mention that, but I put a little garlic in there too.
No simple, pepper or salt.
Simple.
Or anything?
Nope. I let people salt and pepper that kind of stuff
okay.
at the table. But anyway, at the end of the day, that's a easy one for you to do. It takes maybe 20 minutes to cook it
well,
down to the level.
Very similar to this one then, which is a caramelized onion, and this will be on the Grilling Guys website too because. You're going to heat a fry pan up and put some Old World Olive Company butter EVO in it, and then slice, and you slice the onion. You don't chop it. You slice up a nice big Vidalia. They're in season right now. And you saute them till they're translucent, right? Add a slight amount of Old World Olive Company's 18-year balsamic and shut it off.
Right.
And just let the thing finish, cover it up, and let them just render a bit, and oh, caramelized onions on a steak are so good. But the Vidalias yeah. with a nice butter EVO, or you could use butter,
right.
but I tend to like to use Old World Olive Company's oils,
yeah,
because they're good sponsors and their oil is phenomenal.
Right. My next one is very simple. The same Old World Olive Company has a espresso balsamic vinegar.
Very good.
They have many, many. Flavor-infused balsamics, but this espresso one, guys, you're going to take a half a bottle of it. It sells in like a 750-milliliter bottle. I take about a half of it and pour it in a saucepan, heat the saucepan, and it starts to bubble, and then it starts to thicken. And you want about half of the moisture out of it and then shut it off. and put it in a little squirt bottle, like a plastic squirt bottle you'd see for ketchup or whatever. You can get them anywhere.
Yep.
And let that stuff cool, but just squirting that as a little garnish on the plate and over top of that steak that comes off the grill.
Or under it, just for a nice
but
design.
But the balsamic, the vinegar gives it a little tang. That coffee flavor comes through, and it's just an amazing little side dish. And you can set that one 2 or 3 days ahead of time.
You can make that and just keep it in the jug in your fridge because it doesn't go bad.
Correct.
It's vinegar. It's, you know, Rachel Ray sells vinegar reductions like that. For like $6, you can buy a little bottle of hers, and it's pretty good stuff.
Right.
If you don't have the time or the inclination to do that, you can get a bottle of Rachel Ray's balsamic reduction for like $6.50.
Right.
It's a phenomenal deal. I don't know how she does
but you'll be
surprised. She's amazing.
Right. You'll be surprised at what a great flavor profile that just that little bit of sauce puts on a steak.
Yeah. Another one that I like is a blue cheese garlic. And again, you're gonna let some butter come to room temp.
Compound butters.
You're just You're just gonna add some blue cheese and some fresh minced garlic, and you're gonna blend the heck out of it. Now, this one you might want to actually put in a blender or mixer and really beat the heck out of it, because if you're gonna want that garlic to really infuse, you're gonna have to beat on it a little bit. Or you can get the bottled stuff and put a scoop in with a little bit of the juice is another way to do it. But then throw the blue cheese in on top of it, blend all that together, again, throw it back in the fridge, let it cool, and my mouth's watering right now.
Yep.
I love that one.
I'd take that, put it back in the fridge, put it on wax paper, and roll it up into a little log about the size of a butter stick, and then slice it off on those steaks like you talked about
That's
earlier.
That's a great idea.
And put a little bit of that
parchment
on there
paper.
Right when you serve it.
Yep.
Right when you serve it, and it'll melt. You know, a butter on steak, we've all been to the famous steakhouses that bring out the sizzling plate. That's butter, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. That's what's crackling on there. And that just adds a fabulous,
easy to do
flavor.
It's like bacon.
Right. Yeah. Can't go wrong.
There's another one, which is a Bernays. Mr. Producer, do we have time to do Bernays? Okay. This is good. It's basically, and again, we'll load this up on the site, but this is a slightly altered version of a lot of common Bernays recipes, and I don't remember why it was ever changed, but there's just sometimes I see things in recipes and try them and like them and don't like them and alter them to, this is to my liking, but I'll just put it up on the website, but it's basically white wine. One of the things I changed was grapefruit balsamic, and instead of they were asking for a wine, red wine vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I love the grapefruit balsamic from Old World Olive Company. I think I put less shallots in there because I'm not big on shallots. And other than that, it's all pretty much the same tarragon and stuff. Bernays sauce, I really like it on a steak. It's not something I do all the time, but it's great on a venison steak if you're trying to hide some freezer meat that might not be up to its game.
Coming up next, we're going to finish up this steak fry. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Like Donkey Kong. And shut my mouth, slap your grandma. There ought to be a law. Get the sheriff on the phone. Lord have mercy. Now you're a man. A man, man, man. Now you're a man. A mounty, mounty, mount. A man, man, man. You are now a man. You're a man. Now you're a man.
Yesterday's man law. Women who claim they love to watch sports must be treated as spies until they can demonstrate knowledge of the game and the ability to pick a buffalo wing clean.
Hey, that is sound advice.
It's true.
Right there. Now, that's not to say there aren't some, because there are. There are many that are true sports fans, but they pass the test, right?
Yeah, but if you're just starting to date a girl and she says she loves to watch sports, that's a big test.
Right.
Because they'll say that just so you'll keep dating them. And then once you're in the relationship, if they really don't, and, you know, then they start, like, changing the channel on you, then you got a problem. And it's too late.
Yeah, right. But, mm-hmm. You know, that's what cold beer is for. So we're all good, man.
Starting next week, we're going to be on two more new affiliates, WJIM and WVFN in Lansing, Michigan. So two more affiliates to add. And,
welcome aboard, yeah.
Yes, that's awesome. We used to be on them years ago when we were on the Michigan Talk Network. For you folks out in New Jersey, if you have stations out there that you would like to hear the show on that are not in the Atlantic City market, by all means, send us your request because we love the great state of New Jersey and the whole East Coast. We want to keep expanding out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've been talking a lot about steak, and probably the number one problem that people have with steak is overcooking it. Now, we are huge advocates of a digital thermometer.
Hey, I've done it myself.
But we've all done it, and we'll all do it again because you lose focus, something distraction.
Yeah, because very often when you're grilling stuff, you're having an event.
Right.
And if you're a dad or a husband or, you know, the host, you got all these people over, you're doing a bunch of other things too.
Right.
And that's a crime.
Right. So there's you always have a steak doneness device with you, and that's your hand. And you start by putting your thumb and your index finger together and kind of squeezing that part of your hand.
Which would be your pointer finger.
Right. Yeah, okay. You don't know what index is. Yep. Sure. Squeeze that little paste right at the base of your thumb, and if it gives a little bit, that's rare. Go to your middle finger.
And everybody knows the middle finger.
Right. Your ring finger and your little finger. When you get to your little finger, that piece of your thumb will be tighter. And that's what a well-done steak tastes like, or feels like.
So if you put your pointer finger, your index finger, and your thumb together, the piece in the crotch of that, or in the where they come together, is the
that's
part that you want to grab. And when you put those two together, you'll notice that it's real soft, and that's rare. So then you do your middle finger, you'll feel that firm up a little bit.
So someone asked me that, well, I'm feeling my hand. How do I tell how my steak's done?
Touch it.
Touch it with your finger. And if it gives the same way as your hand gives, that's your barometer.
And if you're a big sissy, use a wooden spoon and touch it.
But you'll see it give. and that the principle is as the meat gets more done, it firms up. Simple to do.
There you go.
But Barbecue Bob, I'm a salt and pepper guy. I use crushed pepper and salt on my steak. There's a lot of people that do a lot of other flavorings.
Maybe you don't have to.
Maybe a little garlic oil or something. But
you don't have to. That's a great point, Jop. You're a traditional man's man. If you want to help out GI Barbecue, we're taking those last two loads out to Camp Pendleton. They're going to have to ship in August. So we're going to start beating the drum to raise maybe $5,000 to finish this mission off. We raised just under $70,000 to get this done. A simple five ought to be easy to do. So if you wanted to get in on it and you didn't, please go to gibbq.com. God bless you.
We appreciate you listening. We'll talk with you next week.
You be my salt and sweet. I'll be your strong and steady. You be my glass of wine. I'll be your shine.